You're so close, eat dessert first. So, you know, that's the way we ought to live our life, amen? And I believe that something good is about to happen, amen? And like that one old song, I just feel like something good's going to happen. And I believe it's all going to be all right, and one day we're going to be celebrating. You know, just it's going to be so amazing just in that twinkling of an eye when we just turn around and we're in glory, and wow, won't that be great? Amen. No more debates or no more caucuses or hallelujah. We got our king. Amen. Well, I just wanted to let you know, I know none of y'all watched the Super Bowl because I know y'all wouldn't do that, but I did. I watched it for you. I asked God to help me and to forgive me and sanctify me. But I had to do that since we sent our coaches up here that y'all have. You know that Kubiak and Wade Phillips were our coaches in Houston. And our brilliant general manager fired them instead of firing some other people. He should have been fired. But anyway, that's me talking. That's not Jesus talking. But. So I'm excited because y'all have some of our players. Daniels, he was one of our players. And so, you know, I felt like I was just rooting for the home team, and I feel like I'm home anyway when I'm here, so congratulations. And so to celebrate this, we just ask the Lord to send this good weather from Texas on up this way and that you're enjoying. We've been enjoying such wonderful weather there, and but we were excited to see all of our friends in Denver be excited about the Super Bowl. But I want to tell you something. We got a bigger Super Bowl than the Super Bowl. We're living in a time when the greatest thing on the face of the earth is the saints of God, spirit-filled believers who are holding back that spirit that wants to manifest itself. And praise God for praying saints and for those that would continue to pray and believe this message that we have, that we've been entrusted to, and we're holding on to it and guarding it and preaching this message. We've got the message that's going to close out this age. Amen. And it's so close. Like Brother Clem Foster used to always say, I'm looking for a hole in the sky, not a hole in the ground. And I think it's opening. So praise God. I want to talk to you tonight about down but not defeated. And I thought about your quarterback, Peyton Manning. He'd had a rough time when he was still with another team and didn't play. It was one of the first times he didn't play for a whole year. I think it was in 2011, and a lot of people wrote him off and said he wouldn't be any good. And I know that the defense really came through and won this game, the Super Bowl, but old Peyton Manning, he did a pretty good job. You know, he didn't stay down, and he'd had some rough times, but he got back up, and he fought, and he stayed in there. And, you know, that it's just kind of an example. I know he's not a spiritual example to us, but it's a good example of how that we ought to just get up when we get knocked down. You know, when trouble's all around us, hard-pressed but not crushed. You know, and, you know, we can move on, and we need to move forward. I want to talk about some of my favorite people, and I think I'm looking at most of them right now, but in the book of Revelation in chapter 3 and verse 7 through 10, let's read this and talk a little bit tonight about where we are, what we need to do. I'd like to tell you that it's easy. I'd like to tell you that you never have a tough day in your life. I'd like to tell you that your kids will always just be perfect, that your marriage won't ever have any struggles, that everybody that you work with is going to love you, that everybody in the church can get along with you. Oh, wait a minute. you know, it's not always easy, but it's never impossible. And when we see this church in Revelation chapter 3, this Philadelphia church, this faithful church, this church that refused to give up but continued moving on, this is our example today. Let's read this in verse 7. Of Revelation chapter 3, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, he and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. I know thy works, Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Hallelujah. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Look at verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, or the hour of trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Be faithful to the task. That's what I see that he's commending this church, this Philadelphia church. Be faithful to the task. Refuse to quit. Don't give up. Anybody can quit. Anybody can give up. That's the easiest thing to do. I used to do some long distance running, and sometimes when you can't see the goal and it's not in view, boy, that's a struggle. And your lungs are burning and your legs are burning and every muscle in you just wants to. And it's just the easiest thing to do would just be to sit down or just to start walking rather than running. But, you know, you just dig down deep and you say, you know, I'm going to get something down here somewhere that's going to make me move on. And you just determine that you're going to press on because there's a mark out there. There's a goal. There's a finish line out there that we're going to head to. And then when you kind of turn that corner and it's almost like that goal is in sight, man, it's like you get that second wind and something happens. And you know what? I feel like that's where we are in the spiritual realm. I think we've turned a corner. Man, I think that finish line is in sight. Some of the things that I get excited when I see and hear these debates and see what's happening in the world around us. I get excited because I'm saying, man, I would have never dreamed this would have happened. You could have busted me back in the 70s I thought Jesus was coming in the next second, which I still believe he could be here before we get the chance to eat dessert. We'll just have to have that in heaven. But never would I have dreamed that we would see what we're seeing in this country. But we're seeing it. And you know what that means? That means that, man, we can count on it. That he saw this before it ever came to pass. This word is right, and let's keep it. Let's keep the word of his patience. Let's patiently keep this word, this promise, this message that says these things are going to happen, and we believe it because he said it, not because we have to see it. Thank God for those that believed it before. You know, we're getting a chance to see some of these things take place. What about those that just shake their heads and say, well, I don't know how that could ever happen, but I believe God. Amen. Praise God. You know, there's an old saying, quitters never win and winners never quit. I hope I'm looking at a bunch of winners today. Some winners, not wieners. You know, some victors, not victims. We got this victim mentality that the world wants to sell everyone. If we listen close enough to that, we're going to buy into this victim mentality that, you know, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm going to do. What are we going to do? The economy's going to do this, and that's going to happen. And I don't live by the economy of this world. Man, the economy of heaven is never shaken. Amen? Praise God. My faith is in him and in him alone. Can I read a poem to you? Do y'all do that in Denver? Do you have poems up here? The name of this poem is Don't Quit, and it goes like this. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometimes learns. And many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Man, I think we're living in the finest hour that there is to live. When things seem worse, the worst that there could be, man, we shine bright. The darker it gets, the brighter we shine. Amen? Amen. And praise God for it. And don't you know that God's saying, yeah, that's my children right there. Yeah, that's my children right there. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're down to nothing, God's up to something. He's got something better for us. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said this, a man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I get encouraged when I hear, you know, a man like the Apostle Paul write about hardships. And then when I go through one, I think, well, I guess, you know, praise God. You know, if Paul went through them, then I can go through them too. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and some of you know this, I call it the little 410 verse, the little shotgun verse, but it's actually verses 8, 9, and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from the New King James, he says, we are hard-pressed. We're troubled. But the way it really brings it out in the Greek, we are hard-pressed on every side. Now, I know nobody in here has ever been hard-pressed on every side. You might have been hard-pressed on one side or the other side, but I don't know about every side. How many, you know what he's talking about there. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. That don't mean that you're not, you know, to be an overcomer means you overcame it. Amen. That's the good thing about it, is that that you overcome it and you get up and you don't quit. You might be down, but you're not defeated. Overcoming is that you've got to have something to overcome. And this is what I hear Paul saying. We are hard-pressed. Not just, it's tough. No, he said, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. Ever been perplexed? Now, we don't, you know, God's not the author of confusion. We shouldn't be confused. I know God's in control. I know he's got things ordered. I know that I'm on the winning side, and I know we win this thing. We need not to be confused about that God's a good God and the devil's a bad devil. Well, he's good at his job, but he's bad, you know. And so we shouldn't be confused. But sometimes I get a little perplexed. Maybe I shouldn't. You know, but I get a little perplexed because I can't figure that out. I'm perplexed. But he says, but not in despair. To where the point of where we're just ready to give up. Oh, my goodness. Where's God when I need him? He's right there. He's right there. He's been there all the time. Hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Persecuted, but not forsaken or abandoned. Struck down. Struck down, but not destroyed. You can be down, but not defeated. You can be struck down, but not destroyed. So I learned something watching those old Rocky movies way back then. Here's what I learned. You just got to get up one more time, then you're knocked down and you win. That's it. You just keep getting up. You just get up one more time, then you're knocked down, and then, hey, you win. So we just got to keep getting up, people. You know, life will deal us things. Not everything's from the devil. Some things are just from this world we live in. Some things are from us, you know, from our ignorance maybe or whatever. But no matter what it is, wherever it comes, wherever these challenges come, we just got to get up. We get back up, dust ourselves off, shake ourselves off, and get with it. Proverbs 24:16 says, for a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity. You know what? Yeah, we're in a good category here. The righteous are getting knocked down. The Apostle Paul says, struck down, but not destroyed. So don't be surprised when things like that hit. Just get up, shake yourself off. Say, man, I'm pushing on this thing. I'm pressing on because I've got a goal that I'm pressing toward. I've got the mark, the prize of the high calling, of the upward call of God out there. What is this? Some people get sidetracked, you know. And I think we ought to knock the fat off the face of the devil, you know, if we can. But I'm not going to stay there and mess around with it. I got a higher thing to do. You know, some people get a little sidetracked sometimes, and that's all they want to do. They just want to just fight the devil, fight the devil, fight the devil, fight the devil. Well, you know, I'm called to win souls. I'm called to prepare God's people. I'm called to run a race and to get ready for the bridegroom. The devil gets in my way, I'm going to slap him out of the way as fast as I can because he's not to be there to hinder me. He's coming to hinder me, but I'm not going to let him hinder me. If he knocks me down, I'm going to get up. Knock him out of my way, because I've got something greater to do, to move on. Be down, but I'm not going to be defeated. Get up and keep moving on. You know, what defines us is how well we rise after falling. You look at great people. You look at great saints. You look at just great people down through history. And what really defines them is how well they got up after they were knocked down. People, we got to get up. See, that's what encourages me. When I see what some of you have been through, and I look down through the ages and I hear the stories of different things, of the challenges that the saints went through. When I read about the Apostle Paul and some of the things that he went through, and he just says, I'm not quitting. There's no quit in me. God didn't, when he made us, he didn't make us with quit in us. He made us with victory in us. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He created us victors. Amen. He's placed that within our heart. He's placed within us the desire to run. You know, the devil wants to slap the run out of you, but we need to just not allow that to happen. Get up. Move on. You know, the people here at the Philadelphia church, they were faithful to the task. I think that's what we need to do. We got to get focused here, man. We need to press toward the mark. We got to press. Everything within us gets so focused that no matter what it is, you know, I don't know how many of you ever ran track or ran in competition running. When you come off that line and you go into that first corner, there's people are pressing in and jockeying for position and pushing around, shoving. But you can't concentrate on that. Oh, somebody touched me. Well, I'm just not going to run then if they're going to be doing that. Fine, sit down, loser. You ain't going to win that way. I mean, you got to stay focused on your lane and on where you're going and shut everything else out. Do you remember the 1968 Olympics when a runner from Tanzania came? The Olympics were held in Mexico City. And he was running, and I think it was at the 19th kilometer, 17th kilometer, something like that. There was coming into one of these corners, and there was some shoving and pushing, and legs got tangled up, and he fell down, and he dislocated his knee and scuffed his shoulder and his arm really bad. He was hurt really bad. And he got up, and Akwari, I think, was his name. His last name was Akwari from Tanzania. And he got up, and he ran. Well, everybody else finished within 2 hours. Well, people start to leave, and the press starts to leave, and everybody's going home. It's dark, and here he comes, and he's moving. He's in his self, he's running with what he can run with a dislocated knee and all tore up and bandaged. And finally, people look and say, what in the world? There's another runner coming. And he comes, and he crosses that line last. Most everybody had gone home, but he crossed that finish line. They come out to him, and they interview him, and they said, what are you doing? He says, my country didn't send me 5,000 miles to quit. He said, my country sent me here to finish a race. You know, it really doesn't matter where we are in this thing. We're just called to finish. We're called to finish. We've got a great cloud of witnesses up there. That's just, they're not about to leave until they see the last one come across the line, man. I mean, there's some of us out here, man, we've been knocked down, but we're not out. We're not defeated. Come on, get up. And press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling. You know, the Philadelphia church, you know, they had a picture of what Christ, of the bridegroom, and that's who they desired. They loved him with all that was within him. Just love him. Just love him. You know, if you love him more than you love yourself, then you're not going to be so concerned about yourself and all, you know, my rights and what's happening here and what somebody said or what somebody didn't say. And, you know, they didn't give me any accolades or they were talking. Who cares? That's just flesh. You know, who's alive in you? Christ is alive in us. Amen. You know, we live in these days of doubt and doom. If you listen to the news and depravity and just really utter discouragement. But I want to tell you something. That's the world's viewpoint of it. We're living in the finest hour that there ever was. It's time for us to rise up, get back in the race, and shake ourselves off and say, man, I might have been struck down, but I am not destroyed. I'm in this thing. I'm in this thing to win it. I'm in it to win it. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. He says in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. An open door. You know, you look that up. It means opening or closing. It really means an exit. It's an opening or a closing. He's put before us an exit. You know, he tells us there in Corinthians that no temptation has taken us that's not common to men. And with that temptation, he's made a way of escape. He gives us an exit on all things. He opens doors that no man can shut, and he shuts doors that no man can open. You can't tell me that any temptation that you've ever started to walk into, that there's a point there at that time, in that temptation where you say, I'm not supposed to be here. Or, this isn't what I ought to be doing. At that moment, that's when you ought to be like Joseph and leave your coat and get out of there. That's your way of escape. That's that door. That's an open door there. And I know the door that he's talking about here is that door of rapture, that one that he opens up, that no man can open it. You can't work your way into it. Even though he says, I know your deeds, but you're not working your way into it because we do these things because we love him. I heard a testimony of a woman one time that was married. She had a horrible marriage. The man was very cruel. He was a taskmaster. He demanded his breakfast to be served at just the right time, and everything had to be just right. The toast had to be just right. The eggs had to be just right. Everything had to be just perfect. Wanted, you know, his shirts ironed a certain way, handkerchiefs ironed a certain way, probably wanted his boxer shorts ironed a certain way, you know. But she did this out of servitude almost. And after several years, he died of a certain situation, and she ended up remarrying, and she really found the love of her life. And this man loved her, and she loved him. She loved him so much, and one day she found herself ironing his clothes just right, and handkerchiefs even, you know, and fixing the food. She wanted it to be just perfect, and all this stuff, she found herself doing what she had been doing when it seemed to be such a drudgery and just out of, you know, just pressure. And she found herself doing it joyfully because she loved him and he loved her. You know, God knows our deeds. He knows our hearts. He's looking down. He says, I know your deeds. He knows if we're doing it for him or why we're doing it. You can't work your way in. We can't open this door of out translation. He can. And he will. He gives a promise of that. It's a portal. It's an entrance. It's an opening is what that means. It's an exit, if you will. It's a translation. But you know, there's doors that he opens every day for us, you know? If we're not faithful every day, why do we think that we're going to win this thing? I don't think we're going to get it on good looks, from what I can tell. You know, I mean, every day, I mean, what if he did? We talk about it. You know, if the Lord tarries, if he tarries in the next 15 seconds, you know, what's he going to find? Well, praise God, he'll find us here in church. That's good. You know, but I mean, hopefully we came because we loved him. We loved the fellowship of the saints. And I know that's why you're here. But what about every day? If we're faithful over a few things, he makes us ruler over many things. Every day, God sets before us open doors of opportunities. Opportunities to win the lost and to develop the saved. You know, I discovered something. You got to get them born before you can get them married. You know, I want to raise up the bride of Christ, but I found that I got to get them born before I can marry them off to Jesus. Amen. Before they'll fall in love with him, they got to get born again. You know, have we lost that our first love for him so much that we're not sharing that anymore? Okay, well. What are you talking about, Pastor Paul? I don't know, but ask him about it. Find out. You know, I don't know what you have to do, but I woke up one morning and everybody I knew was saved. You say, that's a bad thing? Well, it's a good thing, but yet, you know, it gets a little dull. I mean, I still get a buzz out of leading a sinner to Jesus and seeing him get saved. I don't know about you, but boy, that does something to me. We love to ride motorcycles, and I like to be right up there with what they call the one percenters. Just walk in and get that opportunity to say, are you interested in spiritual things? Maybe ask them, say, is it okay we have a prayer over your bike and do a little blessing over your bike? Oh, yeah. Nobody's ever turned me down if I ask them if I could bless their bike. Well, get on that bike. Let's bless you and the bike. Well, let's just bow our heads, right? Man, come on, let's set that hook and get them saved. I want to unload hell and load up heaven. And then tell them about a bridegroom that loves them. Loves him so much that he gave himself for him. Man, I think if we can just get people to fall in love with Jesus, man, if we can just get them to fall in love with Jesus, the rest of the thing's easy. Amen? So I think he gives us daily opportunities to work for him. And one day I think it's just going to be just the natural, just the next natural thing. We're just going about doing what he wants us to do and what we're to be doing for him. And the next thing we know, we're just right there. I mean, bing, bang, you know, we're there. And we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing. Praise God. He says, I know thy works. And if we miss our opportunities, we might lose our crown. Hold fast that which you have. Let no man take your crown. What does that mean? Well, if I stop running my race, somebody else will have to run my race for me because it's going to get done. And if Brother Bob has to run my race, then I guess you're going to get my crown too. Well, it's not my crown. Really, it's a crown for Jesus, isn't it? That we can take and present it to him. Well, what a high honor is that when we have the opportunity to bring a crown before the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, and present it to him and say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be embarrassed and come up empty-handed. Man, I want to run this race with perseverance. Hallelujah. He says, for thou hast a little strength. Well, one thing about it, Brother Copley says in his writings, he said, you know, no other church did he even say had any strength at all. So a little strength is a commendation. You know? I mean, he even mentioned that he even had any strength. And yeah, a little strength, and has kept my word and has not denied my name. A little strength, a little in numbers, a little in quantity. Small numbers, small members, true believers are overcomers as compared to the entire body. We know that, you know, when Abraham, a type of God the Father, sent his servant, a type of the Holy Spirit, back to his land, you know, his homeland, which could be this homeland, to get a bride, which is, you know, Rebecca was a type of the bride for his son, Isaac, who was a type of Christ. You know, he didn't go and get the whole family. He went and got Rebecca. You know, and so we know that the bridal company is the select group. So, yeah, there's a little strength there. We're not big in numbers. You know, we're down in that Houston area. We're not a mega church, you know, not at all. There's mega churches all around us down there. Joel Osteen's not too far away. You know, he's got that big church. And Ed Young's Second Baptist Church, that's just Second Baptist Church. You know, they got big churches. But you know what? We got something better. We got a message. You know, we got a message. And there's something, I mean, I want people to be encouraged. I'm an exhorter. I want to exhort people. I do. I love to exhort people. But I want to tell you something. This message that he's given to us, it's not preaching convenience. It's preaching a commitment. I asked the Lord one time. I said, Lord, this is so tough. And people don't like to hear this. And I was just whining to him, you know, whining about how tough my job was. And it's just like he just spoke to me. I didn't call you to preach convenience. I called you to preach commitment. Yes, sir. Not everybody likes to hear commitment. But I want to tell you something. When you do it out of love for him, it's not a task. It's not something that's too difficult. It's something that's just out of joy serving him. You know, we might not have the abundance that some ministries have, but, you know, it's easy to compromise and try to be a seeker-centered church. And I attended a conference up in north of the Chicago area, and some spirit-filled churches, just thought I'd hear what they had to say. And they was talking about, what are we going to do? You know, look at these churches that are really growing, and they're seeker-friendly. You know what seekers are, you know, people that are seeking Christ. And so you got to make it convenient for them and not make anybody nervous. Y'all are getting nervous now, aren't you? And do we need to change some things so that, you know, we fall in line and that the churches grow? And you know, we sat there and thought, wait a minute, we're entrusted with a message. You know, I don't want to run anybody off. I really don't. But, you know, I'm going to preach the message. I'm going to preach the truth. And I want people to hear the truth. But I'm sure not going to water it down. You know, because we've got to keep the word of his patience. He says, I know you've kept the word of my patience. That word kept means to guard, to entrust. And it means to guard, keep an eye on, watch, to obey. And so we've got a responsibility. We're to keep the word of his patience. You know, Jesus is being patient. He's ready to come. In fact, he says, no man knows the hour of the day, not even the Son of God. You know, I mean, the Father's the only one that knows that hour of day. And Jesus is being patient. Before he comes, he's ready. I know he's ready to come back. Man, he wants to come get his bride. You know he's ready. And we're ready. Well, we got to be just as patient as Jesus is. And we need to be doing what he's called us to do. You know this. We all know this. But sometimes we've heard it, and then, man, we get slapped. We get hit by this. And out of the blue, you know, it seems like something trips us up. What was that? And it's like, really? Something else? Are you kidding me? My goodness. I mean, if it's not health, if it's not finances, if it's not that stupid car, it's the washing machine. Are you serious? We came home from a conference one time, and our hot water heater broke, and there was water all over the whole lower floor. I said, really?
So I said, I'm going to fix that. I'll show you how much. I'm an overcomer here. I'm going to buy me a waterless hot water heater. Well, no, it's a tankless hot water heater. It's still got water running through it, but it's a tankless. So I'm smarter than this. That happened once. It could happen again. I'm not going to have a tank running around here. But you know what? You just get up. If you can be down but not defeated, you get up and you move on with it and you take care of those things. And because we got a higher calling out here. We can't get caught up down here in all this kind of stuff. We've got to keep the word of his patience. And he says, and have not denied my name. Wow. His character, who he is. In my name, you shall cast out demons. In my name, he says, under his authority, under his purpose, under, you know, who he is. Man, so many people want to maybe back away from that because it's not popular and it's not, it gets a little nervous. I remember when I was younger, when I was in my teens, and me and my friend, we went to a camp meeting. And boy, all of a sudden, they got to praying and sounding weird. And we both looked at each other and said, this is when it gets weird, isn't it? So it gets a little nervous, you know. You get a little nervous. How many of you remember that when you were a heathen and that sort of happened? But you know, there was something that was real about it. There was something like, well, you know. And so I don't know. I don't know how it happened. But next thing I knew, I was up there just like everybody else. It was weird enough that it got me, I guess. And you know, I used to think that the Holy Ghost was a power that you had to get a hold of until I discovered he's a person of the Godhead who wants to get a hold of you. And man, when he gets a hold of you, that's pretty good stuff. You know? Man, we got to just move on. And when we are down, we don't have to be defeated. God has sent us the Holy Spirit to help us, to enable us. We got the best message on the face of the earth. The message that's going to close out this age. And he says, you know what? Because you've done this, then he gives us this promise in verse 10. He said, because you have kept my command to endure patiently. Hello. Anybody out there patiently enduring? You know what that means in the original text? Patiently enduring. Putting up with it. Hanging in there. When the going gets tough, it's tough, but you just get going. I mean, that's what it means, you know, because you've kept my command to endure patiently, endure, suffer, tolerate, remain in existence. We remain in existence when things get tough. Who are we? We're children of the living God. And to think that the devil would come over and just, you know, just stomp his feet and we'd run and hide, no way. Get out of my way, devil. I don't have time to mess with you. I've got something to do here. I've got an assignment. I've got a race to run. Because you kept my command to endure patiently. Faithful. That's what he's looking for. Faithful. Just be faithful. You know, sometimes our race isn't the same. We've got different assignments. We've got different things in the body. There's various things, you know. Some people are the nose. Some are the eyes. Some are the ears. Some are the armpit. But they all got a part. That's what Paul said. Some are presentable, some are not presentable. I mean, you know, everybody's got a part. And so just do your part. And if everybody does their part, then it's going to make everybody else's part a little easier. But, you know, we just got to be faithful to where we're called and what he's called us to do. And he gives us this explicit promise. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Now, some scholars try to say that that means that he's going to keep them in the trial. Excuse me. If he would have meant that, he would have used a different Greek word there. He didn't say, I'm going to keep you in the trial. He didn't say, he says, I will keep you from it. It's exactly what it means. He keeps us out of it. It's a definite time period. And, man, that's what we got to look forward to. That's the promise for this thing. He says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, or the original wording in there says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. He commands us to endure patiently, and because we do that, because we're faithful till he comes, he says, I will also keep you from this hour of temptation, this hour of trial, and it's going to come upon the whole world, is what he says. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that. And I believe we're not that far from it. I think that at any time, you know, if man, he'd take us out of here, praying saints, that's holding back the power of iniquity that is worked within this world right now. There'd be an outbreak tomorrow morning, and Satan would start to maneuver, make his way in. That spirit of Antichrist is present, and there'll be a man that will represent that, and he'll step right in. We are not that far away. Satan's all, you know, Satan doesn't know when the time is either. He's had a man ready from, you know, when this thing was written. He's got somebody ready because he doesn't know. Boy, I'm ready to get out of here. And not just because I want to and I'm tired, but I mean, I can't wait to see my Savior's face. You know, I can't wait to see those that have gone on before us, you know, and to have that celebration. He says, well, since you've kept my command to endure patiently and you've kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of trial or temptation that will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So he's saying to this Philadelphia church, you know, that they're not going to enter into this future time of trouble. And he couldn't have said it any clearer than what he said it. You know, so there's a promise to us. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, another great chapter, these third chapters, Revelation 3 and Philippians 3, verse 10. The New King James says, Paul says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, conquered death, hell, and the grave. Man, if we know that power, what can hold us back? When you get knocked down, you are not destroyed. We're not defeated. We get up in the power of the resurrection. If Jesus Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, and it shall quicken your mortal body. Get up. Get after it. Get going. Amen. And he says, I want that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. To identify with those sufferings. He paid that price. It's finished. Man, and to identify with that and to say it's not by my works. It's by the grace of God. I've been declared righteous. I'm redeemed. And I count this old man to be dead indeed unto sin, but I'm alive unto God, and I'm going to move on. Moving on. Praise God. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, or as they say in some parts of Texas, I press on. He says, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Man, he's laid hold of us. Let's lay hold of that revelation that he has, that he's given to us. When you feel down, when you feel like that you've gone as far as you can go, lay hold of it again. Get up and lay hold of that and say, you know what? It's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Amen. And we get up in his spirit and we move on. There's no weapon that's formed or fashioned against us can prosper. It can't succeed. Hey, we're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Amen. Who are we? We are children of the living God. Amen. Kings and priests unto our Lord. Amen. We're here to serve him and to exalt his name. Hallelujah. And he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do. Come on, forget those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The Philadelphians, you know, they're the ones of the last days who will not die, but they're going to live as full overcomers. One day, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. Come on, let's comfort one another with these words. I want to tell you something, people. It's not that far away. It's getting closer every day. There's an old gospel song back in the 70s. It was talking about, I don't know, I believe he's coming back, like he said, or something like that. But said if his coming seemed so real then, you know, well, it's got to be even so much more right now than it was back then. Amen. Every day is a day closer to him. That's the way that we got to see it. If we wake up, we got to realize, hey, this is one more day that's just closer, getting ready for that trumpet sound. And you know, the Apostle Paul tells the Philippians in chapter 5, he says, spirit and soul and body preserved blameless till the first trumpet sounds. Praise God. We're out of here. Amen. You know, they were down, but they weren't defeated. We got great examples all through the Word of God of people that were knocked down, but they weren't defeated. I went through and just did a real quick thing, and we're going to close on this. But, you know, we can look at Joseph with his coat of many colors, and in the midst of continual difficulty, he refused to quit. You know, if we just kind of outline each one of these lives and take it in, just condense it down, we see, first of all, Joseph with a bright future. Then we see his bickering family. Then we see a bad fall. We see some bothersome foes. We see some banished freedom. Then he'd been forgotten, but he had a bold focus, and there's a breathless finish to his life. He was down, but he was not defeated. You know, we can take a look at Job in the midst of personal adversity, but he refused to quit. His life starts out with this little outline of his life, his wealth. We see his wealth and his fortune. Then we see his ways and his faith. And then we see his woe and fate. And then we see his worship and his foresight. And then we see his wives and foolishness. And we see his witness and his fortitude. And he says, I know my Redeemer lives. And he says, and he's the first one to prophesy. And let me just say like this. He says, and I believe he's going to stand at that day. He was the first one to begin to see that the resurrected Jesus Christ was going to be there. Amen. He saw that. And he didn't quit. He was down, but he was not defeated. Well, in the midst of personal and physical deformity, Naaman refused to quit. Remember that his life starts out the leper man, and then we see the little maid that comes to encourage him. Then we see a lost mission, then a liberating message. Then we see a laughable method, and then a life-changing moment and a lasting miracle. Naaman was down, but he wasn't defeated. In the midst of governmental authority, Daniel put up with some of it in his days, but he refused to quit. We see his daily routine. We see his daring resolve. We see his deliberate rebellion. We see the dreaded results. And then we see a dynamic reward in Daniel's life. He was down, but he wasn't defeated. We have these examples of these overcomers in the Old Testament. In the midst of racial hostility, Esther refused to quit. You know, her overcoming story begins with these characters that are displayed for us. And then we see the contest, and then we see the charge, and then we see the challenge, we see the courage, and then we see the celebration. Esther was down, but she wasn't defeated. Amen. Boy, in the midst of social depravity, here's Gideon just trying to grind out just to make just a little bit of meal there. And we see him as his life story starts out. We see his vexation. Then we see his virtue. We see his visitor that comes. Then we see his valor. And then we see his victories. Yeah, Gideon was down, but he wasn't defeated. What an example. One of these lives that we see here today are in the Word of God can represent us and what we're going through. No temptation has taken us that's not common to man. Hey, he makes a way for us too. You know, in the midst of this minimal opportunity, a woman by the name of Ruth, she refused to quit. Starts out with Ruth the widow, and then we see Ruth the wanderer. Then we see Ruth the worker. Next we see Ruth the wife, and then we see Ruth the wealthy. Ruth, when she was down, she wasn't defeated. She hung in there. She refused to quit. Her faithfulness got her going. Courage to get up. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I mentioned that word courage. You know, it reminds me of the story of this husband and wife. They were on vacation, and they had a lot of things to do, and they pull into the dentist's office, and they run in, and she sees the dentist, and she says, I need a tooth pulled. And she says, no Novocaine, no nothing, just, you know, just pull the tooth, and so we can be on the way. And he says, okay, show me your tooth. And she says, honey, show him your tooth. Now, courage is real easy when we have it for somebody else, but this is our race to run. It's time that we stand up. You know, and that we have courage for the race that we're going to run. And that if you've been knocked down, that you say, wait a minute, I am not defeated. I am an overcomer. I'm a victor, not a victim. I'm a winner, not a wiener. Amen. I'm going to go through this thing. Winners are just simply ex-losers who got mad and got up and kept on running. Amen. You know, I like what one person said. They said, stop validating your victim mentality. Shake off your self-defeating drama and embrace your innate ability to recover and achieve. Boy, I think we need to hear that. We need to shake that stuff off and say, wait a minute, God put within me that innate ability to achieve this thing, to run this race. I can do this thing, not through my might, but through his strength that he's given to me. Victorious warriors win first, and then they go to war. I know I read some strange things. I read The Art of War. I was reading it on the plane coming up here, Sun Tzu. And you know, there's a lot about that in war. And I read it, I highlighted that. He said, victorious warriors win first, and then they go to war, while defeated warriors go to war first, and then seek to win. And I think sometimes, beloved, we're seeking to win. And we're dragging all of our stuff and all of our defeats with us. We just need to realize that when Jesus said it's finished, when he won, we won. When he won, we won. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war. You know, my whole job is not to go out here and just, I know this sounds strange, but it's just not to go out here and fight the devil. I mean, that's going to happen. I don't have to go out looking for the devil to fight. I'm supposed to be looking for the prize of the high calling. I've got a race to run. I got, you know, souls to save and people to help encourage and to build them up and to help them fall in love with Jesus. And I got to win first and then go out to war and keep winning. Well, we came through the Super Bowl thing, but Vince Lombardi, some of you can still remember Vince Lombardi, and I like what he said. He said, winning is not a sometime thing. He said, it's an all-time thing. He says, you don't win once in a while. You don't do the right thing once in a while. You do the right thing all the time. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, losing is too. People, winning is not a sometime thing. Running this race is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. The bride of Christ is not a sometime thing. It's a lifestyle. It's an everyday lifestyle. The people that you work with, the people when you're walking through Walmart, you know, when you're pumping gas, it's an all-time thing. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. Show us areas in our life where we might have been knocked down and then we didn't get up. Father, we know that life is full of challenges and difficulties, and we can see that through all of the examples that you give us through your word. But Father, those that overcome, those that win, they're the ones that get back up. And they don't quit. Father, there are people in here that's had tremendous challenges, physical challenges, emotional challenges, relationship challenges, spiritual challenges. Tonight, I just, as we're praying, with your heads bowed, nobody looking around, just, man, we got to get serious about this thing. Because it's not a game. This is it. This is life. And here we are. On the threshold of rapture. And we can't afford to be knocked down and defeated. If you're here tonight and there's an area of your life that you just feel like that you just got the wind knocked out of you. And you just feel so knocked down that it's hard to get back up. He loves you. And he wants you to come to him. He wants you to get back up. He wants you to get in this race. And he's your strongest supporter. He's your biggest fan. He's your greatest strength. So why don't you just raise your hand to him tonight and say, Lord, in that area, I need a hand up. I need a hand up. Just pull me up from this thing, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Lord, I'm reaching up to you and out to you, and together I'm going to walk with you. And Jesus said, greater things than these shall ye do. We got a big assignment. And our enemy knows that. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Two and a half years ago, I was at a men's conference, just being a pastor and enjoying the fellowship with our men, and everything's cool, I thought. I'd caught pneumonia. Sandy had been in the hospital, had hospital-type pneumonia, that strand of pneumonia. I caught it, had been getting about 2 or 3 hours sleep, and, I mean, I knew I had something, but, you know, I mean, I've had something throughout my life. I mean, you know, cough or whatever. Didn't think anything about it until I couldn't hardly stay awake. I got up from the conference, went to the restroom to splash some water on my face, and passed out. They found me. I said, Pastor, we need to take you home. I said, yeah, I think I need to go home. That's the last thing I remember until the next day, waking up in CCU in the hospital. They lost me 3 times. I could tell you about some of the things that I saw during that time. It was pretty amazing. One of the thoughts was, what happened? What happened? I mean, where did that come from? And, you know, it's like Satan's like a sniper sometimes, wanting to take you out, you know? If you're an encouragement to somebody, I mean, but the thing is that you don't just, and I can tell you throughout that time, I was tired. I was hurting physically. I mean, I had to have a hip replacement right after that, and I was in pain, and I just was tired physically. I was tired emotionally. I was tired spiritually. And, you know, I thought, for me to die is gain. Praise God, I'm out of here. And Jesus said, I'm not finished with you. What? Are you serious? I mean, isn't this good, you know? For me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. Did you forget that part? But I remember waking up. I had a whatever they put down your throat to keep you breathing, because I couldn't breathe on my own. But from the top of my lungs, what I could say was, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I said, I'm coming up out of this thing. And, you know, I knew what had happened. But I said, you know what? I'm not giving up, and I'm not going out like this. If I'm going out, you know, like I said, I'm going to adopt that thing. I'm looking for a hole in the sky, not a hole in the ground. And I said, I want out of here. And they said, what are you saying? I'm writing it out on paper because they couldn't understand. They got all that stuff down my throat. Down but not defeated. There's so much more for us to do. People, I don't know how much time we have. You know, we all know what we're talking about. We're just preached to the choir here, really, literally. But, I mean, we need to encourage one another sometimes. Because we're down to the final hours. If not us, who? I mean, this baton has been handed off to us. Now, what are we going to do with this thing? And if the Lord tarries, are we making preparation? I mean, I'm looking for him to come at any second, but I'm telling you, I'm preparing a group of some young men to say, man, I tell you what, if he tarries, you got to learn how to keep the word of his patience. I'm going to equip you the best I can. But I hope that we're out of here in the next 2 seconds. Hallelujah. Come on, give me praise this evening. And let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you today for tremendous saints of God that are here today. Father, I thank you for your encouragement. I thank you for your strength. I thank you that you've encouraged us tonight, that when we get knocked down, that we just get up. We get up with greater strength. Your grace is sufficient, and it works in us just as a bone that's broken. When it grows back, is stronger. Father, those things, instead of those wounds, can become strengths. Those strains can become muscles. And Father, the faith muscles to work and to move. It's in you that we live and move and have our being. Father, we're going to press harder than we've ever pressed before. Father, we're going to win more than we've ever won before. We're going to develop more than we've ever developed before. Father, I pray for a harvest. I pray for a harvest to come into this church, Father, that people that are hungry for the Word of God, the true, unadulterated Word of God that's being preached, Father, that there's a hunger and a thirsting after it. Father, that that people that are being fed this bland, social type of gospel will have a hunger for a depth and a reality of the meat of the Word. And Father, help us step up to the position that you've called us to and be ready to fulfill that in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can you come tonight? Can we come and pray? Can we come and just say, Lord, fill me afresh and anew? I don't care if it was 45 minutes ago that you felt like that you got a fresh fountain from the Lord. How about right now? And, you know, if it's been a while since you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, come tonight and be filled. If you're here tonight and you're not sure about eternity, if you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, come, let us pray with you and tell you. We want to unload hell and load up heaven. Amen. Let's come and let's seek Him, and let's come and let Him encourage us and give us strength to get up from where we've been knocked down. Amen. Praise God.